I had a very inspiring incident take place during the week I'd like to share with you. Midday Thursday, we had a funeral here, and the deceased had been a member of the United States Marine Corps. And of course, as usual, because of that, two young Marines were here, present for the flag ceremony at the end of Mass, made themselves known. One of them, a lieutenant in his late 20s, asked me if I needed an altar server for the Mass. And of course, having no server, I told him yes, I did. I accepted his offer to assist, and it turns out that in his college years, he'd actually been in college seminary, discerning a call to the priesthood. After graduating from seminary college and before going into graduate school for theology, he decided to take some time out and had joined the Marine Corps. Later, he met his wife. Of course, he married and now has two small children. But it was quite an impressive sight, though, to see this young soldier in his dress blue uniform serving here at the altar at the funeral of a deceased comrade. The motto of the Marines is Semper Fidelis, which means forever faithful, faithful to God and faithful to country. And what an example he gave of both as he served in his uniform at this Mass. I commented at the end of the funeral that I've had many altar servers in the past who've become Marines, but that's the first time I had a Marine become an altar server for a funeral, and it was quite impressive indeed. You know, we often hear and we think about how our words can hurt or offend others, but usually it's only in the context of hurting their feelings or how they might perceive themselves. But do we ever take time to consider whether our words, our actions, or our example can lead another person astray and cause that person to sin and distance himself or herself from the Lord? I don't think we do. The church teaches that you and I must have respect not only for our own souls, but also for the souls of other people. She defines the sin of scandal as an attitude or behavior which leads another person to do evil. The person who gives scandal becomes his neighbor's tempter. That person, as a tempter, damages virtue and integrity, and can even draw one's brothers or sisters to spiritual death in mortal sin. Scandal is a serious offense if by deed or by omission we lead another person into a serious offense against God or neighbor. This is true for all of us who profess to be practicing Catholics, but even more so for those of us who are parents and teachers, clergy or civic leaders who are obliged to teach and to educate others in the ways of justice, righteousness, and truth. Remember well what the Lord teaches. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone would be put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. It's a serious stuff. You and I can provoke scandal by laws, such as laws that promote and protect abortion or sodomy, as some so-called Catholics in government have done. We provoke scandal by institutions that work to undermine the church or to corrupt morals or religious practice. We provoke scandal by failure to show other people the true way to Christ, by certain human opinions that might lead others to question or to doubt the teaching of Christ and his church. And of course, by certain clothing fashions that turn the human body into an object of lustful shame and degradation. Anyone who uses the powers that we have at our disposal in such a way as to lead other people to do wrong becomes guilty of scandal, and we become responsible for the evil which we have directly or indirectly encouraged. Now, it is true that we are to get ourselves with the help of God's grace into heaven, brothers and sisters. But you and I also have the task of bringing other people to Jesus, bringing other people to heaven. Storing up riches in heaven doesn't just mean prayers, virtues, and acts of charity, as important as those are. It also means souls. Souls. The souls of your spouses, the souls of your children and your grandchildren, the souls of your friends and neighbors and relatives, your fellow employees. Souls are the most precious thing in the eyes of God. And so the question is, are we praying for the salvation of souls as well as for our own soul? Or are we showing others kindness and friendship, goodwill, and encouraging others to develop a prayer life, to return to Mass, return to the sacraments, and help them to do so. I see how, as humans, we always get excited about new products, certain new foods and fashions and so on, and we encourage other people to try them. You know, we say, try this restaurant, the food there is great, or did you try this new thing, I tried it, it's wonderful. We do that all the time. But have we done the same thing with the love of Jesus, encouraging others with that same enthusiasm to give Jesus a chance too? It seems, sadly, more often than not, that we're far more comfortable letting people put their souls in danger, or even worse, leading them to put their souls in danger, than helping them to draw closer and closer to the heart of Jesus. And that's not a good thing at all. If we are to be true Christians, we'll have to let our faith become our guide and be willing to take our faith out to the world, beginning with those who are nearest and dearest to us, and give no scandal through our words or through our behavior. Instead, like that young Marine that I just talked about, we must light up our conduct by diligently keeping the Lord's commands and restraining ourselves from sin and giving a good example of service. The good news of the gospel and the salvation of Jesus Christ must reach every soul in every corner of the earth. And for this work, the Lord is counting on us, on you and me, to contribute to bringing his message to the world. Men and women, priests and laity, young and old, widows and widowers, all of us together, to do the work of the Holy Spirit of making Christ present to our world and bringing souls to Christ. As Moses said, would that all the people of the Lord were prophets who speak his word to the nations, that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all.